and welcome to this bonus episode of Life in Luca with Andrea. So, before we start, I have some exciting news that I'd like to share with you. Firstly, I'm beyond excited to reveal that the Life in Luca with Andrea podcast has reached both an anniversary and a milestone. It's 2 years since the first episode of the podcast went live, and significantly, Life in Luca with Andrea has recently burst through 6,000 downloads with listeners in 50 countries around the world. That's absolutely mind-blowing. And I'm so grateful to you all, listeners, guests, family and friends. Thanks for listening and for your encouragement and support. It's been great meeting up with those of you that have been in Luca, and I'm really enjoying these newfound friendships. And I was both overwhelmed and delighted last year when I was at the top of the community tower. A lady tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Are you Andrea?" I said, "Yes," and apologised as I couldn't place her. She had in fact recognised my voice from the podcast and introduced herself to me. She was visiting Luca from the USA with her family, and it absolutely made my day. Suffice to say, the podcast has developed beyond my wildest dreams. So if you are in Luca, please do drop me an email at lifeinluca@hotmail.com, and we can perhaps meet up for a coffee chat or a walk on the walls. If you can't get to Luca though, you can follow my adventures on Instagram at andreas_life_in_luca. And whilst we're on the subject of podcast episodes, Eileen and Gary, who were guests on series 2, have been working on a new project. They have been in the recording studio and recorded the first of their 2 books, Our Italian Journey, which will be available through Amazon's Audible as an audiobook from around mid-November. I'm going to really enjoy listening to Eileen and Gary in my earbuds on my walks around the walls of Luca. Secondly, many of you will know Norma Jean Bishop, the editor of Grapevine magazine, and the exciting news is that she's joined with Life in Luca with Andrea to offer a discount off the Grapevine magazine for online subscriptions to listeners of Life in Luca with Andrea. So how do you access this? Well, if you head over to www.lucagrapevine.com and use the code GVLIFE10, that's GVLIFE10, you'll receive a 10% discount off a year's subscription. For those of you not familiar with Grapevine, it's so worth subscribing. Grapevine is a long-established cultural magazine and is the go-to publication for anybody visiting or living in or around Luca, or indeed any of you that are armchair tourists. Its pages are not only full to bursting with news, articles, culture and history, but also have adverts for local services. And it contains a monthly calendar of events of what's on in and around Luca, which, as many of you will know, it's not always easy to find out what's happening until you either stumble across an event by accident, or after the event, somebody asks if you went to a concert or an art exhibition that you didn't even know was happening. So do take a look at the Grapevine website and take advantage of this special discount, as the Grapevine magazine is a treasure trove for those of you with even a hint of interest in Luca and beyond. I'm already working hard on series 3, so if you've enjoyed listening to previous episodes in series 1 and series 2, I'd be ever so grateful if you could head over to my Ko-fi donation webpage at ko-fi/lifeinluca and donate the equivalent of a gelato or two. Your generosity has been amazing, and your donations help me to keep the podcast alive. So my grateful thanks to all generous donations already received. Now, you may remember that Melting Pot Luca Language School sponsored a couple of episodes of Series 2. I've personally experienced some very enjoyable lessons at Melting Pot Luca and can highly recommend the school. So much so, at the end of one of these lessons, I asked my teacher, Julia, co-founder of the school, if I could interview her for the podcast. And she kindly said yes. So, here's the show. Julia, ciao, and welcome to Life in Luca with Andrea.
Ciao, Andrea. It's a pleasure for me to be here.
Oh, thank you. Well, I feel really privileged, actually, to be interviewing you today. especially as you're one of the co-founders of the language school Melting Pot here in Lucca and also a sponsor of this podcast. So can you tell me a little bit about your language school Melting Pot Lucca? So for example, when did you establish the school?
Yes. Of course, Melting Pot Lucca is the school that I founded with a friend of mine, Sara. We founded the school in 2021.
Ah, that's funny because I started the podcast in 2021. So
we have the same age.
Yeah, we have the same anniversary, don't we? Yeah. So why did you establish the school?
Well, we started talking about the school when in that period, I was attending some English classes with Sarah. She's an English teacher she has been an English teacher for a long time. I was unemployed at the time. Mm. It was post-COVID. It was a mess.
Yes. As happened to a lot of people in that time period. Yeah. Yes. Nobody knew where to go, to do. Yeah. No.
So I was attending some English classes with her, and we started talking in English. We started talking about our dream jobs.
Oh, wow.
So the idea of a language school came up. Yeah. So we said, okay, let's do it.
Yes.
And we started working on Melting Pot Lucca.
That's fabulous.
In 2021, the school has born.
Yes, yes. And it's built up an excellent reputation as well. I know people that have been here, and I've also been here for lessons as well. So I can vouch for your school. That's why I wanted to interview you, because...
Thank you. It's a pleasure. And really appreciate people talking about our school. We really love what we do.
Well, you do. It comes across that you're very passionate about what you do. It really does. And, you know, you're very encouraging and you're very passionate. I mean, it's funny because the first time I came, you gave me a little folder and you also gave me like a bag, a cloth bag with Melting Pot Lucca, and I've seen people with them walking around with it since I've had mine. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's great. So people can recognise that you are in the same school.
The same school. Yes, you can. And it's also great to carry your pens and pencils and your writing equipment and, you know, your paperwork and that. But I also use it if I go shopping as well.
So it's got
multiple uses. But so talking about the classes, I know that you do a wide range of classes. So I've actually been to one-to-one classes with you, and I've also been to the conversation classes with you as well, which are very, very good. And I was quite surprised. It never dawned on me that I just thought everybody would be mother tongue English, but in the class there was an Argentinian and there was somebody from Holland as well.
Yes.
Yeah, so...
It's a melting pot,
yes, right? Yes, a melting pot, definitely. Melting Pot Lucca. I liked having the one-to-one with you because you could tailor it to my needs.
Obviously.
And I know beforehand what you do is you do a little assessment, don't you, to see...
Yeah, normally I start with a placement test from which I can... It's basically a conversation and a grammar test.
Yes. And it's not a test in an intimidating way. You're just talking.
Yeah, absolutely. I ask about... why are you in Lucca? Where are you from? What do you like about Lucca?
Okay, yes.
So really easy conversation and a grammar test.
That comes out when people are talking, if they understand the grammar.
Yeah. And also, it's a conversation to. I can, from this conversation, I can understand if a person lives here, the person lives here, or if they are here for a while, if they can come for a month or for a week and so I can suggest what is the best solution.
Yeah, because if somebody's here for a week or 2 weeks, then you'd do intense classes, or you'd recommend intense classes for them, wouldn't you? But if somebody was here, you know, sort of how I'm here for a few months at a time, I could have one or two a week, depending on my needs.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So maybe you, because sometimes coming to school every day for 3 or 4 hours is too much.
Yeah.
So a good solution could be coming to class like twice a week, or you can combine twice two individual classes with one conversation class. Mm. So it could be mixed.
Well, I found that it's really benefited me because what 1 hour on your own with a teacher, it's fantastic because you're getting all the you know the learning that you need.
Yes.
So I mean, if you were living here and you wanted to say go to the hairdressers and you wanted to know, you could say, well, I need to make an appointment to the hairdresser so I could do with learning some conversation around that, and that's great. And then in the group classes where you have the conversation classes where there's a few of you, you actually give a printout of some questions and you put us in pairs.
It's a guided conversation.
It is, that's great, that's exactly what it is, guided conversation. So,
and I also try to give some tips from the real language that we speak. Sometimes when you study in Duolingo, for example, some people practice with their Duolingo. It's a plastic language.
That's a good thing.
And I try to teach the real language, the authenticity of the language.
Yes. Well, I liked it because when I was talking to, I was in a pair and there was other people in pairs, and you were actually going around listening to us talking. So basically in this conversation class, I had to ask my partner questions and write down the answers and vice versa, and the other people did. But you were walking around and listening and you were finding common mistakes that we were all making off, common themes we weren't understanding.
Yes.
And then at the end of that, you went and you put on the board the various things you'd heard, and you explained them to us and said them how they should be said. And then you asked me to talk about my partner, and my partner to talk about me, and the same with the others. And it was really good fun. And it also means that it's not intense for 1 hour because other people, but while other people are talking, you're learning at the same time.
Yes.
So I found it really beneficial.
You can also meet new people.
Exactly.
I love when people in my class become friends.
Yes.
I totally love it.
Yeah. I mean, we were also talking before, we were saying that you much prefer teaching face to face, which it's always the best way.
Yeah,
but I mean, we did talk about the possibility that if somebody wanted to continue, if they were going back to their home country, they could then continue online if they wanted to.
Or for example, I have students who sometimes here have to go in England for work and stay there for 2 weeks, and we continue online.
Oh, that's fantastic.
For that week, and then you came back.
And you also, your partner in the business, Sarah, she's from American and Italian heritage, isn't she?
Yes.
And she teaches English lessons here, doesn't she?
She does. She is a very creative person. She's an inspiration for me in the teaching work. She has a lot of experience as well.
Mm.
She started teaching when she was like 19.
Wow.
Yeah, because her mom was a teacher too, so she started with her. And she teaches English to adults. She also teaches to kids classes.
Wow.
We have a lot of kids in the winter time mostly.
Yes, I can imagine. I mean, because I know with spending so much time here in Lucca, how much Italian families want the children to be bilingual. Because it opens doors for them, doesn't it?
English is very important.
So that's great. And you've also got a presence on social media as well, haven't you?
Yeah, we try. I'm trying to do content every week. like a video, a reel or something with a quiz or a new word or tips.
Yeah. Well, I love it because when I go on my Instagram, oh, there's Julia. So I absolutely adore it. It's great. Oh, what's she going to teach me today? And it's good because, like you say, it's a quiz or it's, you know, it's fun. And it's just a little...
It's just fun.
It's breath of fresh air in the day. It's really good when unexpectedly, you know, and you can save them if you want as well. So
yes. I mean, I follow many English teachers who teach English. And they do the same. Used to see their contents and I said, okay, I can do it for my students as well. So,
and more recently, you've started an email newsletter, haven't you?
Yes. I write every month, I write a newsletter with my suggestions on recommendations on things to watch, things to read, things to listen to, and I try to recommend just real Italian things, authentic Italian things, things that I watch in my daily life. I recommend maybe with subtitles or maybe I recommend an easy article to read, and I think people
I do. I enjoy it. You know, it's sort of good. It's like if you watch a television program that's on, say, for half an hour, even if you only learn one or two new words or one or two.
I learn English in this way. I watched a lot of TV shows, I mean, you also learn the pronunciation of the words.
Yes, that's true. Yes, you do. Yeah. Yes.
The intonation, that it's different also from region to region. So you can, at the beginning maybe it sounds the same, but then you start to recognize the Tuscan language from the... I don't know, Sicilian language.
Yes.
It's completely different, but
it's
nice.
It is. Well, I mean, you're so enthusiastic and so encouraging. It's an absolute joy to have lessons with you. I really enjoy them.
Thank you.
By way of background, you were actually born in Palermo in Sicily.
Yes, I
am. Before moving with your family as a child to Tuscany. So can you remember your first encounter with Luca?
Well, yes. Actually, I remember. When we moved in Tuscany, we lived first in Prato, near Florence.
Yes.
We came in Luca for Luca Comics.
No.
I was like 11 years old or 9 years old or something like that. I was amazed.
Mesmerized. Absolutely mesmerized.
Yes. It was, and I mean, Luca Comics was a little fair at the time.
Yes.
Nowadays it's a very big event, but when I was little it wasn't, but I was amazed.
It must have been really exciting as a young girl then, you know, to see the comics, because that's the people dress up as Spider-Man and Batman.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
You know, it's
amazing.
It's an amazing experience. So have you ever dressed up for comics?
No, because I didn't know.
Yes, I know.
I came here without expectation.
Yes.
But yeah, it was amazing. I really had fun. And this was my encounter with Luca.
Wow, what a first encounter. That's amazing.
I knew it wasn't the normality.
Yes.
I enjoyed it.
So you first moved to Prato, and then you moved.
Yeah, and then we moved to Altobascio,
yeah,
30 minutes from Luca.
Yes.
And I came in Luca for high school. I came here every day by bus or by train.
Yes.
And I basically grew up in Luca.
Yes. Yeah. So is the school inside the walls or outside the walls? It's inside. Inside the walls. Oh, how beautiful to come to school inside the walls every day.
It was near Palazzo Fanne.
I do.
It's basically next to Palazzo.
Really?
Fanne. Yeah.
How beautiful. How beautiful.
It was cold as well.
Yes.
In winter.
Yes, it would be. It'd be damp, wouldn't it, in winter? Very damp because the buildings are so old, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm. Yes. Yeah.
But it was a good school.
I sometimes wonder if people, you know, young people, if they realise how fortunate they are to...
No. I realised how Lucca was... I realised the beauty of Lucca, I think, when I was older.
Yes, yes.
I don't know, maybe we are just used to the beauty.
Yes.
and then at some point we say... Beautiful it's look.
Yes, it's not until you get older that you appreciate the beauty around you and the history and but fancy going to school next to Palazzo Fana. It's absolutely stunning. So what would you do at lunchtime? Would you be able to go out at lunchtime when you were at school? Would you be able to walk around Lucca or
Sometimes we ate pizza in Felicia.
The best pizza in the shop.
We went to the library to study, we went just home.
Wow. So what ages were you at school here in Lucca?
From 14 years old to 19.
Oh.
Then I studied in Florence for the university.
You went to university in Florence? Mm-hmm. Wow. What was that like? What was it, quite a big change, really, because Lucca's such a small city. I mean, I know it's vibrant.
I didn't live in Florence.
Ah, you travelled to Florence.
Yes.
Travelled to Florence.
Not every day, like 3 days a week.
So it was different. Mm-hmm. It was different, yeah. So the school in Lucca, would they, when you were at school in Lucca between 14 and 19, the teenagers that lived in Lucca, but would there be lots of people like yourself that travelled from from
their little villages?
Yes, and you'd all meet.
Mm-hmm. I used to take the bus or the train or my parents' car.
Yes.
Pick me up in the evening.
Yes.
They pick me up.
And was Lucca integrated into the curriculum? You know, was it sort of, did you sometimes, if you were doing a subject and you could say you're doing a music subject, would you go out of the school and say do something on Puccini or go to the Boccherini Music School? Would it be incorporated or?
No. Actually, no. At least not at my age.
That seems such a shame.
Yes, it is. It could be better.
Which is, I think it is again. It's just you just accept where you're born and where you live and where you grow up. And you know, as we said earlier, I think it is just as you get older that you do realise, you know, how lucky you are. Especially once you start travelling and then you come home and you think, mamma mia, it's wonderful. That was nothing like.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's what probably does it actually. Yeah, so what was it like to grow up? Because, you know, as we were saying before, that the summer holidays are quite long, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So what was it like to grow up on, you know, Alto Pascio is just... There's a train station at Alto Pascio. Yeah, that's on the way to Florence, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's just 10 minutes by train.
It's just 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So what was it like to grow up?
In Alto Pascio?
Yes.
Well, I didn't spend so much time in Alto Pascio. Because I had all my friends here in Lucca, so every day I came here to stay with them. So I hated that part.
yes.
But now I don't anymore.
No, because it was so quiet and rural.
Yeah.
And
sometimes it was too much quiet.
too. It is when you're a young person. You want things more lively. And,
absolutely.
And the Centro Storico is just alive and vibrant, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It is.
And also when I wanted to live, to try to live in a bigger city.
Yes.
I mean, like every young...
Of course, it's natural.
When I was in the university, university, I did my Erasmus in Barcelona as well.
In Barcelona?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was amazing.
You loved it, yes. You see, I can imagine somebody that lives in Spain coming here to Lucca and saying it's amazing, and you went to Barcelona.
Absolutely.
And you, so it's just different from what you know, isn't it? It's getting out there in the world, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yes. So now, you live in Lucca now?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, so you've moved from Alto Pascio, and you've moved to Lucca itself. And so you live and work here now?
Yeah.
So what's a typical day like for you?
For me? Well, I work here in Mentopot like every day from Monday to Friday. Normally I have a lunch break, so I go back home. After work, sometimes, especially in spring or summer, I like to go in, I like going in Porta dei Borghi.
Oh, you know, yes, I do.
All the young people, and not young people as well, go there.
It's very lively, isn't it, in the evening? Yeah, people stand outside in the street, don't they?
Yeah, with a beer or a glass of wine.
Yes,
Just have a chat after work.
It's just a nice buzz, isn't it? It's just, it's a nice place to be. It's relaxing and fun, isn't it?
Yes. So even during the week, it's just for... Mm. A beer before going home.
yes.
And also, well, I don't know if I mentioned to you, but I play rugby. So
that's fabulous! I'm really impressed.
So 2 or 3 times a week I go to the training. It's here in near the river.
Near Monte San Quirico.
Yes.
If you go down...
In the,
if you go down the path, the river. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some... I've seen people training there.
Mm-hmm.
And is that that's rugby? I cycle that way. If I go to Villarreale, that's the way I cycle along there.
Yeah,
so I've not really stopped, because I have seen that there's some ragazzi, you know, that... Ah, so you play rugby. So is it a female?
Yes. Actually, my knees are not anymore... they don't agree anymore to play rugby, but...
but that's just the sport that you love.
Sorry?
That's the sport that you love, that you really enjoy playing.
Yeah, so now it's just for fun. I don't know if next year I will continue.
Yeah, so you do, sometimes you play sports and you get some injuries and you just can't continue, can you? But that really...
But I used to teach rugby as well.
Did you really?
With kids.
With the kids, yeah. So you could still do that, couldn't you, if you're unable to play?
I'm too busy for that.
Well, the reason I'm impressed is it's sort of in the UK, it's sort of only this last few years that women's sports has become more prominent. So it's lovely to hear that it's also the same here in Italy.
Yeah, especially, well, now I am... older probably to play, but there are a lot of young girls playing, and for me it's there.
I think it's really good, because a lot of you know, people will email me, I put my email on in the episode notes, and people will email me and say, what is it to do for young people? So it's good to know, you know, people are thinking of relocating here, especially.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much for when they're visiting for a long period, but perhaps if they're thinking of relocating and they've got young children, they say, what is it to do? So that's something I can add to the list.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, that
there are a lot of kids playing rugby at the moment.
Yeah.
But also other sports.
Yeah. Mm. But it's a good way of, if Italian isn't their mother tongue, it's a good way of them integrating, isn't it? So, you know, if they were going to school, they'd be learning the language and they can...
Yeah. Also because, I don't know in England, but in other countries, sports are well done in school. It doesn't happen in Italy. So we have a couple of hours of gymnastics.
Yes.
But...
That's it.
That's it. Yeah. So normally people do other activities in the afternoon, like they play basket or they play.
Yeah. So they have
soccer or something.
Yeah, I must admit it used to be a big thing. They used to call it physical education, PE, yes. in England, and it used to be quite a lot of sessions on mm-hmm. the calendar, the school calendar, to do that, you know, most days. But as time's gone on, it's reduced and reduced mm-hmm. and reduced. So it's more like an extracurricular. Mm-hmm. But so I think it's the same in most countries by the sounds of it, you know. It's
unfortunately
it's sad. It is itself, but then I suppose the benefit of that is you can choose which sport you do. So rather than being told you've got to do rugby mm-hmm. or told you've got to do football, mm-hmm. you can choose which you want to do.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's good. So so is that the sort of thing? I was just wondering how your weekends differ from your days. You know. So.
Yes. Totally. Oh, especially in summer.
Yes.
Also because my boyfriend lives in Rosignano, which is near Livorno.
Yes.
So in the weekend I escape from
you escape.
Lucca.
Yes.
And I go there. It's in on the sea.
Oh, basically. Wonderful, is it?
So yeah, we go to the beach, we relax and so.
Oh, it's a really good way to unwind,
it's,
isn't it?
Really my happy place at the moment.
Yes. Yeah, you need that, yeah, because it's so busy and hot at the moment in Lucca, isn't it, with the summer festival and, you know, the temperatures being high.
Yeah, it's very hot.
I was surprised, actually, you know, I've had to walk because I've had a puncture on my bike, so mm-hmm. I've had to walk today, and I thought, oh, gracious, you know, at this time, and this is the hottest part of the day, mm-hmm. and, I mean, they used to say midday, but it's more like 3 o'clock now when it's the hottest, isn't it?
It is.
And I've had to leave my bicycle at the bicycle shop to be mm-hmm. repaired while I'm here, and I've had to walk about half an hour, and I thought, this is not good. But it's amazing how many places there are where there's shade, and it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. No, I was quite surprised because when it's hot, I never walk. I always cycle, even if it's a short distance, because you get a breeze on a bicycle,
yes.
don't you? But I was surprised.
Yeah,
but
we are lucky in Lucca because in other cities it's not like this.
No.
In Florence at the moment, I think it's like, I don't know.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. We have the walls, we have a lot of parks, so we have a lot of green in
Lucca.
But it's not like
there's lots of places. I think because of the streets as well aren't so wide. So when you're walking along the streets, you've got a lot of shade from the buildings. Mm-hmm. And then like you say, there's lots of green spaces with trees, so there is lots of shade, isn't there?
Yes.
So it is a good thing. It is. So I'm going to ask you some quick fire questions
mm-hmm.
now. So do you have a favourite Italian word or phrase, which seems a strange thing to ask an Italian lady?
I have many, actually. Well, I like magari.
Yes, magari.
I use it all the time.
Yes.
Which is I wish, or also maybe. It depends on the sentence.
Yeah.
I like vabbè.
Oh, I don't know that one. Tell that one.
It's like whatever.
Vabbè,
yes.
That's a new one. I like the new
vabbè
one.
Vabbè or vabbè with double B.
Yeah, vabbè.
Everything depends on the intonation.
Of course it does.
It's the short form for va bene, so vabbè.
Ah, I can see it now you've said
mm-hmm.
it. Yeah, I can see it now you've said it. Magari and vabbè. 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 It's not an easy word to say, that, vabbè.
You have to do it like this.
Should we show this? Vabbè.
Yeah,
because it makes it easier. Vabbè. See, you're a good teacher. You have all the little tricks. Vabbè. I was using that all the time now.
Let me know.
Let you know how I get on. So, magari and vabbè. And then, what about restaurants? You know, I mean, when I say restaurants, they are something like trattorias and osterias, you know, it's...
I like Giulio in Pelleria. Have you tried?
Giulio
in Pelleria, it's near Piazzale Verdi.
I haven't tried that one, no.
Well, you have to book earlier.
Oh, is it one of those? Is it? It's a really good one.
But they have really good food, wine... And in summer you can sit basically under the walls. It's amazing.
Oh, wow. Mm. Wow.
Outside the walls, I can recommend Lo Scompiglio.
Lo Scompiglio.
Scompiglio.
Lo Scompiglio.
Yes, there is near Uomo. Lo Scompiglio, there is near Vorno, Uomo, it's in Capannori.
Ah, Capannori. Yes.
Yeah, on the hills.
Yes, on the hills, yes.
It's a lovely place, good wine, good food, yeah.
Well, I always think if an Italian has recommended good food and good wine, it's going to be exceptional.
And for aperitivos, well, they also do dinner, normal dinner, but especially for aperitivo, I like Lo Stellario in Piazza San Francesco.
Yes, I know Lo Stellario.
I love it. Especially like Sunday evening in summer, they play music.
It's very, very relaxing. Very relaxing. It is. It's very relaxing. And do you have a favourite pasticceria?
Le Bontà in Viale Castracani.
Yes, yes.
I love their cakes.
Yes.
And also they do amazing yogurt.
I've never tried the yogurt. Is it really gorgeous?
Yes.
Yeah, delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. So Le Bontà, that's a gelateria though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's also gelateria.
Yes.
But if I go there, I take the yogurt.
Right. Yeah. So are there any other pasticcerias or gelaterias that you would recommend? Or is that's the one?
There is a new gelateria in Borgo Giannotti.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, I tried. Very good.
Oh, I saw one as I was coming up. There was one on the left and it's in Artignale.
Yes.
Artignale.
It's near Sandra.
When I came, I thought, I've walked 30 minutes. I'm going to have to walk 30 minutes back. And I thought, after this interview, I'm going to treat myself to gelato. So I will go in and try it on your recommendation.
Sure.
I will do that for sure. So if somebody was going to come to Lucca for a day, what would you recommend they see or do?
For a day, they obviously have to do the walls.
Yeah, you can't come and not do the walls.
Yeah.
They're not like the walls in any of the town, are they, or city?
No.
No.
I like towers, so my favorite is Guinigi Tower, Torre Guinigi, but also Torre delle Ore. The other one is in Via Fillungo.
The bell tower?
Yes.
I haven't been up that one, isn't it?
I'm sure.
Never. Yeah, so you'd recommend that, would you?
Yeah. You can see Torre Guinigi from there, so it's amazing.
Well, I don't know if you know that Chiesa San Frediano, or Basilica Arthur, is it Basilica?
Yeah, la Chiesa di San Frediano.
Yeah, they've opened the tower.
Yeah, I know. I haven't been.
I went last week.
Mm.
I was very impressed because I always think, how many towers can you go up? It was amazing.
Yeah.
I was really, really, because I've been up the Guinigi. Whenever anybody visits me when I'm here, if any friends come to see me, we always go up the Guinigi Tower, and I always enjoy it.
Me too, the same. If I have friends coming from, I go with them in Torre Guinigi.
Yeah, you cannot come to Lucca and not go up, can you not?
And another kind of thing is Ortobotanico.
Oh, of course, yes.
It's very lovely.
It's quiet,
relaxing. It's quiet. It's beautiful.
It's a little haven to relax in the middle of the city, isn't it? Yeah.
Of
They've got the little ponds with the big
little lake.
Yes, 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 yes. It's, you're right. It's really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, I'm falling into what I was accusing you of before, not appreciating the city that you lived in as a child, and now I'm. Been that many times, I forget these beautiful places as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's those are good recommendations for a day. So somebody's coming for longer than a day, so you can say places outside of the walls as well. You know,
Well,
that come for like say a week.
They
don't
get the Fagnana area.
The Fagnana. I mean, perhaps come and do some classes here. That would be a good thing to do if they're coming for a week, wouldn't it? Come to Melting Pot.
Of course.
That goes without saying, doesn't it? Come and see Julia at Melting Pot and learn some Italian. So you can practice.
Absolutely. You have to.
Yes. But the Garfagnana is beautiful.
Barga, Castelnuovo. But also Alto Pascio actually has a lovely center. It's in the middle of Via Francigena.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm. So it's a nice place to go. There are good restaurants as well.
And I suppose it'll be quieter, but it's not really touristy.
Well, in summer, no. They are doing a lot of events. And I went there last week for a show, for a comedy show. It was really full of people.
You were quite surprised.
Yeah, I was quite surprised.
Well, I've noticed this. It's so busy now, but it's not just the centre. So if you do decide to go out to one of the villages, you know, around, there's things like chestnut fairs, chocolate fairs.
Sagre.
Yes, yeah, wine and olive oil fairs, you know, there's, wherever you go. I mean, you just said, was it a comedy?
Yeah, it was a comedy show.
Wow.
With a stand-up comedian.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I've not been to an Italian comedy show, so that would be something maybe I ought to add to my list to see.
Yeah, you should understand the Italian.
Yeah. Maybe a bit more to be able to appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
But it was hilarious.
It was a good evening. Yeah.
So even in Alto Pascio or in the small villages, you can find many things to do, especially in summer or during autumn as well.
Yes, there's so much.
We shouldn't underestimate the little villages around.
No. Each little village has something different to offer, don't they? I mean, some of them have...
There's a lot of history as well in the small villages. Mm. So
I was taken in, when I was here in March, somebody took me to, is it Andrea di Campito?
Yeah.
And is it Camellias?
Yes.
My goodness me.
La Fiera delle Camellie.
Yeah, I was blown away. It took my breath away. Mm-hmm. You know,
I recommend it to my students as well.
Yes, it was so pretty, so beautiful. Mm-hmm. But it's you've got the city centre with everything happening, but there's so many different things happening all around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's So, is there anything else that you'd like to tell me? Anything I've missed? Anything I haven't covered? Or do you think we've covered most things now?
I think we said...
I think we have, haven't we? We've covered an awful lot, you know. We really have.
I really enjoyed
the
conversation.
I have, you know. I mean, I would love my Italian to be as good as your English.
Well,
I
made a lot of mistakes, but it's what I say to my students as well. You have to speak, even if you make mistakes. No, it's not a problem. Mm. The main thing is communication. So if you understood me, it's fine.
But that's sort of really it's really appealing, really, you know, the fact that you know that you're a teacher and you teach Italian, and I can swear how, you know, I mean, I've had experience of how good a teacher you are and how passionate you are and encouraging to your students. But it's really good. There's another podcast that I listen to, and it's called How to Fail, and it's sort of
I know this one.
It's really famous.
Yeah, I listened to a couple of episodes.
Yes, it's a really good one, and it's people, really, really, really prominent people that you think would never ever make a mistake and never fail. So it's very...
If you never try, you'll never...
Yeah.
you never
learn, will you? No. So it's been a real pleasure, and I know it. I mean, I said at the beginning, it's hard enough to do an interview anyway, yeah, in your own language. But the fact that English isn't your first language, and it's the first interview you've ever done. I think you've done remarkably well.
thank you.
So, Julia, thank you. I really do appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, most guests are a little nervous about being interviewed. However, when English isn't your first language, it can be quite daunting. Julia was, however, a delight to interview. You can really hear her passion for teaching the Italian language during the interview, and have enjoyed being on the receiving end of that. So if you are in Lucca, do book some lessons, or why not drop Julia a message and inquire about remote online lessons. You can find contact details for Melting Pot Lucca, the Grapevine magazine discount, and Eileen and Gary's audiobook in the episode notes. A presto!